So it's a real privilege to speak this morning. So thank you for inviting me. Exactly 5 weeks ago today, I had the most amazing weekend with my father. I don't see him very often. He lives in the UK and I live in New Zealand. So we're on the opposite sides of the planet. And he's 92 years old, so he doesn't travel as much as he used to. But what made the weekend particularly special, it was just us, him and I, hanging out for the weekend and talking about anything and everything. My mum, Brexit, death, Trump, medication, studying, war years in London, everything. Now, last week, Marty was talking about setting aside time to hang out with our Heavenly Father and to listen to his voice. And that's sort of the feeling I had with my father, just this sort of sitting and being with him and listening to him. So this week we're going to take what Marty said last week just one stage further. We're going to look at three people who heard from God and then took action. So I hope you're ready to take action. So before we get into the details, a bit of a prologue. So part of my trip back to the UK and Europe was looking at old master's paintings. And it used to really bother me that you'd see a painting of Jesus and Mary, who were whiter than white, sitting in Venice or some European landscape, looking very white and pasty and very North European and dressed and looked to sort of the time of sort of 400 or 500 years ago. But after a few paintings, it suddenly dawned on me that this was the old master's painting, making Jesus real to the people that they lived among. So imagine if Jesus was here amongst us today. Well, that's how they would have painted Jesus. They would have painted him in downtown Wellington, looking like a 2016 person. So what does this painting portray? Any guesses? I'll give you a clue. The guy in the middle is Jesus. Sorry? No. Anything? Any other case? So it's a painting by Caravaggio, and it's the Road to Emmaus. And this is the point where the two guys recognize suddenly this is Jesus. It's the moment of recognition. A slide of a painting doesn't do it justice. But when you come into the room and when you see this painting, you see the recognition on the disciples' faces that suddenly click. They're actually sitting with Jesus. And that's what today's all about, our moment of recognition, when we recognise God with us and we hear him speak to us. And he's with us all the time. And these guys have been sitting down having quite a lengthy meal with Jesus. And it was only at one point of the meal they suddenly twigged it was Jesus. It was the risen Lord. So a quick recap from last week. And this is a prophecy that Marty had back in September. But it's quite a good summary of what Marty spoke about last week, about developing our personal relationship with God and finding that place of rest where we know that God is with us. So I'd encourage you that if you're feeling disconnected, to know that God does talk to us in different ways. So stop and listen and have confidence to approach his throne. His sheep will hear his voice. That's a promise that we have. So, and that's just a beautiful word about sitting and resting and stopping. Rest, drink of me, then go and do. Not go and do and then when you find some time, sit and rest and listen to me, but actually make time in your day, put aside to actually rest and listen to God. And the other thing I want to do before we get too far into this morning is to just give a little bit of theology about hearing from God and listening to Jesus. So I've got two little helpers in the audience who are going to come and read for me so you don't get fed up with my voice. So the first, these are all statements of fact and statements about our faith, but this is what gives us the confidence to actually listen on God and hear from him. So the first one that we need to know is that the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 6, verse 12.
So sometimes when it's difficult to make time, remember that there is a battle going on. So the second thing we need to know is that Jesus came to take away our sin.
You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. And that's 1 John 3, 5.
And I think sometimes we're feeling guilty or we're feeling troubled, and that stops us from stopping and listening to God. So just know that our sins are forgiven once and for all. Then the next thing we need to know is that Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil.
This is Acts 10, verses 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him.
So although Jesus came to destroy the work of the devil, we're still awaiting the renewal of all things. The kingdom is now and yet still to come.
But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe."
Is that Matthew 18?
Matthew 18, verse 28.
Oh, there we go. Don't know what I was thinking there. hopefully somebody got something from that. Jesus, we exercise the delegated authority of Jesus in his name and under the anointing power of his Holy Spirit. I'm a bit more confident about
this. Yes, yeah, it is. She's got this right. Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are various varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
And then we are called to be channels of God's love.
1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 and 2. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much. Beautifully read. So this is what underpins our faith. This is what authorizes us to operate as channels of God's love. So when we're hearing God, generally we're hearing to encourage others or to bless others. But we're also here to destroy the works of the devil, to do what Jesus did, to heal the sick and to reach out to the poor and to see the dead rise again. So it's exciting. That's our sort of mission here. So I thought it'd be useful to look at the stories of three people who heard from God in the Bible. I'm going to start with Elijah. Marty talked a bit about reading the Bible. That is Elijah, obviously. Marty talked about reading the Bible last week. And maybe you've only ever read bits of the New Testament, and I'd really encourage you to read the Old Testament stories. And one of my favourite books in the Bible is 1 Kings. And you'll love the stories of Elijah. One minute, he's seeing the most amazing miracles, and the next, he's having a pity party for himself, sitting under a tree. So I'm going to focus on one particular story, and it's a cross between the Joseph Parker Prize fight and the Great British Bake Off. So I thought it'd be good for this morning. So Elijah's really, really miserable, and he's the one prophet of God left. And there's 450 prophets of Baal. I'm just going to read some verses from 1 Kings 18, 22 to 24. So this just sets the scene. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet in the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God." So all the people answered and said, "It is well spoken." So we've got a match on. So in the blue corner, we've got the prophets of Baal building their altar, cutting up the bull. And Elijah says, "Look, just make it fair. You pick first." So they pick the bull and they prepare their altar and they put the bull on. And they cut themselves and they shout and they sing. And it all gets very... They're wailing and they're upset and they're calling on Baal to make fire happen. And Elijah starts teasing them, which seems like a bit of a naughty thing to do. And he says, "Oh, so where's your God then? Gone off on a holiday, maybe? Or maybe he's just having a bit of rest." And then he actually suggests that their God might be using the restroom, which is a bit, bit naughty. So anyway, this goes on all day, and eventually in the evening, it's Elijah's turn. So he's built his altar, and he's got one stone for every tribe of Israel. And just to sort of make really sure to these other people that God is God, he gets them to fill up huge water jars and pour water over his cut-up bowl and his wood. And he's made a little moat around the altar as well. And we know that the water comes over the wood and the bowl and drips down and fills the moat. So it's very wet, very wet. And then Elijah prays. And fire comes down from heaven and not only takes up the bowl and the wood, but also just sucks up the water from the moat. So it would have been so dramatic. Imagine these guys, they've been here all day, our guys in the blue corner, and nothing's happened. And then suddenly they see Elijah and they've poured water on, they've made it as difficult as possible. And the verse we always concentrate on is verse 37, which is, "Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." But this morning, I just want us to focus on the verse beforehand, which is verse 36, where at the end of that verse, Elijah says, he's praying to God and he says, "I have done all these things at your word." So this isn't just Elijah making up the scene and challenging God. This is Elijah who's prayed and he's heard from God, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take this challenge. Then this is how I want you to go through it. So there's Elijah. And I love this statue of Elijah, because I can imagine being a bit sort of out there as a person. So the next person we're going to look at is Mary. And again, this is one of my old masters. And this is Mary and Joseph having afternoon tea with Zechariah and Elizabeth. And again, unlikely that this would have ever happened. But again, it's the old masters trying to paint a scene that the people that they lived among could recognise and could understand, and trying to get the message across that Mary and Elizabeth would have been very close. And I think we're almost immune to the familiar Bible stories. We hear them so many times. We've heard so many times the story of Mary that it just passes over us. And coming up to Christmas, I'd like us to really try and hear those words again and hear them as if we're hearing them for the first time. And I think we have to be careful with reading the Bible not to look with hindsight. You know, I think we often look at the disciples and think, oh, how stupid were they? They didn't recognise Jesus. But, you know, when you look at the context of what was happening at the time, there was no reason why they would have recognised Jesus. So I'm going to read just two verses from Luke. Luke chapter 1, 30 and 31. And I want you to try and imagine you're hearing this for the first time. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." And it must have been quite a frightening moment and quite an exciting moment. And the thing that really struck me was it would have been very difficult for Mary to believe. And one of the things God does to us, if he gives us a word or gives us something that's very difficult for us to understand, he gives us something alongside it that's also difficult for us to understand that we can verify. And this is what happened with Mary. Now indeed, this is the angel speaking to Mary. Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. So the angel says, yes, this is going to happen to you. But just to help you understand what's happening here, just know that another miracle has happened. Elizabeth, who was old and barren, has conceived in her old age and will bear a son. So I think sometimes when we listen to God, we need to hear the context and hear the other things that are going on around. And none of us here can imagine being a virgin who's going to conceive the birth of the Son of God. But who knows what special kingdom project God will make available to you if you make yourself available to him as Mary made herself available. And the example I have here is Wayne, hearing the vision for the Daily Encourager and working faithfully on that through the years and bring it to fruition. And I'm sure some of the people who heard the vision at the first thought, oh, you know, what's going to happen? How's it going to be? And the more we get further into the Daily Encourager story, the more we see, yes, there's God's really behind it, and there's a real need for it, and that it's going to be a real blessing to many, not just here, but I think throughout the world. So listen out. What's your special project? And how can you make yourself available to him? Then the third story I have is Peter. And this is another story that has changed the course of history, and especially for us as Gentiles. So I'm going to just read from Acts 10, verses 9 to 16. The next day, as they went on their journey, and drew near the city, Peter went on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth and beasts, creeping things and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything uncommon or clean, or common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now, while Peter wondered without himself about this vision, which he had been, what had been meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So there's Simon, Peter just taking a rest on the roof, and this vision appears to him. He's in a trance of these animals in the sheet, and the Lord's saying to him, eat these animals. And so what's the significance of this? Well, it sort of shows in the next, what happens next. So the invitation came to speak at the house of Cornelius, a Gentile. Now, Peter's just been told he can eat unclean food. So he goes along to the house of Cornelius to speak. And he sees the Holy Spirit poured out on the Gentiles. And the whole message that sort of comes through this story is that Gentiles don't need to become Jews to participate in the church. So there's no need for special diets or for circumcision for the men. And this was a big thing. This was the council in Jerusalem. Were pretty sure that these new Gentile believers would have to become like Jews to actually participate in the church. So for all you men here, must be a great relief. And it's changed. It's obviously changed the way that the church happens for us. So the fact that all can receive the Holy Spirit, that there's no bars to entry. I think, when the council met, they put three bars on the entry about not drinking blood and not participating in sexual immorality. But this understanding that anybody, and it comes back to the theology we read, the bits of verses about Jesus that we read earlier, that we can approach the throne with confidence. So, four steps. What does this mean to us for hearing from God? Well, step one is read the manual, read the Bible. And especially over Christmas, when you have some time and space, read the stories of the people who heard from God, because they will inspire you and you'll learn how God works. How does God operate? You know, you won't all be setting up altars in the middle of Nio and burning sacrifices. And you unlike to be many virgin births, but just take the stories and say, how did these people hear from God? And how did it change not just their lives, not just their thinking, but change the course of history? So study and reflect. How did they hear from God? What did they hear? How did it happen? So you have people who hear from dreams, trances, see pictures, hear words. God works in many creative ways. Seeing a photograph, seeing a picture, visiting the theatre. God can speak to you in different ways. Learn what's possible and pick up some prayer tips. How did these people pray? So we know that when Elijah came to the big showdown, the big Great British Bake Off prize fight, he'd already prayed. He'd already heard God as to what to happen. He didn't get in the middle of this mess, this massive argument with 450 prophets of Baal. And then, it's good to pray beforehand, I think is the word. So step one, read the Bible. Build up your faith. Step two, this is Brother Lawrence, who practiced the presence of God, whatever he was doing. And the big thing is that even when he was washing up, he was listening for God. So what does this mean for us? I think Brother Lawrence's example is like, whatever you're doing, any part of life, you can be listening out for what's God saying. And I think the great one is, you know, like you're queuing up for a coffee. Maybe you have a word for the person next to you. Maybe you have a word for the person who's making you a coffee. And maybe you don't. But just listen out. You know, like you're not doing anything else when you're queuing for coffee. So maybe you're talking to your boss or your colleagues. You know, like just listen out. Listen out for that word of God. What's God saying? And is there something I can pass on? Is there something I can say? And listen out for words for yourself and words for others. And I've got a very recent example of this where I'm writing the sequel to my first book. And when I say I'm writing, what I mean is I'm meant to be writing. And really, I'm doing anything else but writing. And the house is very clean. And I've done all those sort of little things. You know, like put shoe polish on your handbags. You know, the things like you do like as a regular event. I even manicured the cat's toenails. So it's getting pretty desperate. And I'm thinking, I really need to get round to writing this book. So it's due the end of January, which seems like ages away, isn't it? Yeah, but it's not. And actually it's worse because I've got contributors who are writing pieces and I gave them a deadline of the 1st of October. 1st of October came and my Brazilian colleague wrote and he said he was so sorry, but his mother was dying. Could he possibly put in his transcript 2 days late? And I hadn't even written mine. I felt really bad. I felt guilty, but obviously it wore off because here I am, I still haven't written anything. So anyway, I was at a social event with Matt, Rosemary and Grape's son-in-law, for those of you who don't know, and just talking about writing, and we were talking about very seriously about writing, and Matt pulled out a Moleskine notebook that Natalia had given him, and it was divided up into 7 chapters. And he said, what I've done, I'm writing a book with 7 chapters. So I thought, I'll make each chapter in this notebook a chapter of the book. I thought, that's so easy. So when I flew to Brisbane during the week, I took the exact same notebook and I started on the plane writing the 7 chapters. So I've started. So haven't got any further, but I have started. So that's, but to me, that was hearing God. That was, I've been praying, Lord, I really need to get on with this book and I just can't break into it. And just this simple conversation with Matt and hearing what he did and understanding and actually applying it to my life. So God can speak in very practical ways. You know, it doesn't have to be, thus saith the Lord, you know, you're going to, you know, be my priest in Israel and, you know, you're going to do all this. It can be quite simple and straightforward. So listen out, like Brother Lawrence, who always listened to God when he was washing up. When you're running the dishwasher, whatever. Then the other thing I'd really encourage you to do is to seek confirmation. And I think probably Rosemary will know what this is about. So when Ken Fish came, he had a word that I would be going to the US. And I laughed because that morning I had an invitation to go to the US. And I sort of didn't do anything about it. And I thought, really, you know, am I really going to go to the US just for half a day? And the more I didn't do anything, the more it got worse, you know, a bit like the book, actually. So Sunday, the 4th of September, I wrote it in my journal. We were having coffee and I said to Rosemary, look, you know, couldn't you pray about this? Because I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And what I really want is a big sign in the sky. So Friday the 9th of September, when I opened the blinds, this was what I saw, exactly framed out of my window, this big rainbow. I thought, that could be the big sign in the sky. And that morning I was talking to the ladies group here run by Andrea and saying, I've got this problem, I don't know whether I'm coming or going. And they prayed for me. Anyway, Saturday morning I woke up, another huge rainbow in the sky. And instead of thinking, wow, this is confirmation, you know, I thought, actually, I wonder if it's just the rainbow season. And at that point, there was an earthquake and the house shook and I booked tickets and I went. So just saying, just saying. If God will confirm things, you know, and again, there's some really good stories in the Bible where people aren't sure about, shall I go, shall I stay? And God will confirm it, the stories of Gideon with his fleece. So don't be afraid to ask God for confirmation. That's a wise thing to do. That doesn't mean you're faithless. But do act on it when God does confirm it. And then step four is the challenge I have for all of you, is to make a difference. So each dot represents a month in a life of a 90-year-old. And it's not many dots. You know, when you think how quickly the years go past. So what's your legacy going to be? You know, when you pass on, promotion to heaven, what's your legacy going to be? So when we pray, your kingdom come, it's your kingdom come to me, your kingdom come to my household, your kingdom come to my friends and to my family, to my town, to my nation, to the world. Who are you going to encourage? How are you going to influence history? How are you going to change things? And you never know whether that word, that faithful passing on of a word or praying for somebody or hearing something is going to just change your life or change somebody else's life. So I really encourage you to hear from God. Now, I'll just give you an example. I was in a church in London a few weeks ago, and there was a girl standing next to me, and I really felt I had a word for her, but I was in a strange church, and you know, and it's very English, you know, like you can't just sort of pray for people in England. Well, you can, but it's all very formal, you know. So I was going to leave at the end of the service, and I thought, no, I really should go back and say something. So I went back and I said, look, I'm so sorry, but I think I've got a word from God for you. And very apologetic, you know, sort of, and very formal. And she said, oh, yeah. She said, well, you know, what is it? And I passed it on. It was just, oh, look, I just think God's talking to you about working in mental health. And she just burst into tears, and she hadn't told anybody, and it was something she'd been considering. So, you know, like God sends a stranger, because if one of her friends had said it, there could have been some sort of, you know, maybe I could have known something, but I knew nothing. So just, you know, be obedient. Go back if God says go back, and pass these things on. And you never know. Worst thing that could happen is she could have said, you're stupid. You know, and does it matter? Or it could have been totally wrong. I mean, always pass on a word, say, like, I think this is from God, but if it isn't, then I just pray that you just forget it really quickly. So that's it from me. And just really encourage you to hear from God, to listen out to him, because he will talk, he will speak.